All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta.
Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. Good to be with you. Doug Thornton, host of American Vindicta. Together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And one of my good friends is a media connoisseur. Gave us the highest compliment. Thanks, Ian. Love you. Anyway, we have a really interesting show. We may have to do a multiple broadcast on this. There's so much to talk about. Doug used to say, or something happening every 12 hours. Now it's about like every 12 minutes. Before we start, though, got to do a little business. You know my friend Bob Kudla, trade genius. Guy wins 66% of his trades. Documented, couldn't say it. FTC, SEC would come down on our heads. He's kicking butt. He has a training program where you teach the market. You'll do it in 2 weeks. If you're not, maybe as long as 3 months, no longer than that, certainly. And what he does is he teaches you how to make a second income, winning 66% of your trades on average. The average return on investment's over 100%. What? Yeah. Yeah, it's all documented, people. DaveLovesTrading.com is where you can sign up, get trained, and it's the best second income out there. I'm telling you, it is a fantastic opportunity. DaveLovesTrading.com. And I'm really proud to do this because I feel like we're helping our audience. This isn't for everybody. But I will tell you this, it's for some people that want to put their nose to the grindstone, grind it out, have a second income, and not have to go to work in a box store. It's a great deal. DaveLovesTrading.com. Well, Doug, we got a number of things to go through. So for us mere mortals here that are just trying to keep up with these end times events, Art Bell used to call this the quickening. And man, are we ever living the quickening? There's no question about that. Art's term was fantastic. Anyway, tell me what's at the top of your list. I got a couple myself, but I think we're going to be heavily focused on Doug Thornton. Go ahead, Doug.
All right, so we got a bunch of stuff. I mean, some of this is just, 12 hours old to maybe 3 days old intel. So let's start with the latest boogeyman rumors about Russia, and I don't mean a county in Ireland. House Intelligence Committee Chairman Turner's statement on serious national security threat. So Washington, D.C., House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence Chairman Mike Turner of Ohio issued the following statement just a few days ago, or yesterday, or whatever, whenever it is that you guys see this. Today, the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence has made available to all members of Congress information concerning a serious national security threat. I am requesting that President Biden declassify all information relating to this threat so that Congress, the administration, and our allies can openly discuss the actions necessary to respond to this threat. Kind of cryptic, really vague. Then we have a tweet from Edward Snowden. Turns out the urgent national security space panic memo was in reality a clumsy attempt by the House Intelligence Committee to swing tomorrow's vote to A, prohibit spying on Americans without a warrant, and B, to ban the government's purchase of your private data for surveillance. They've been doing this for years, guys. Yes. And so here's a real funny little remark that was underneath Edward Snowden's tweet from Mark Sater. Jared Moskowitz, emerging from the skiff, says it's definitely not about aliens, and it confirms there is no intelligent life in Congress. So there you have it.
That was worth the price of admission right there. That was an awesome comment. Okay,
so moving on. We got three more things
to cover. I gotta say something though. I want to say something in response to that comment about no intelligent life in Congress. I've gotten a lot of platitudes. I mean, nice compliments. I did a piece on Rumble and I referred to the congressional whorehouse. As I was talking about all the side benefits they give themselves. I mean, we all see it the same way. They all got to go. And I want to interject this. Toss them all. And someone actually got the website, tossthemall.net. And I'm waiting for her to contact me again because we want to get rid of the Rhino Republicans in the primary. And listen, I don't know that a political solution is possible, but I'm certainly willing to try. But we can't win with the people we have in Congress. There might be 20 of them in Congress, House and Senate together, that have earned the right to return. So
Do
I
you
just
think
wanted to say that
any
in
Democrats
response for
have?
you. The Democrats have none.
Well, I'm
I
glad you
mean,
said that.
if you are a Democrat, you should just wear a sign on your forehead that says I'm a human rectum. Okay, next, Doug, go ahead.
All right. So here's a little bit of intel according to the not so well known part of the internet. I have some people within the intelligence areas who still send me some stuff that is extraordinarily reliable. But let's take this for what it is. For starters, I'll say that when I saw this whole serious national security threat thing happen, I knew immediately it had something to do with Russia. And it's funny because everything right now is turning to be about Russia and funneling money to Ukraine, which is really laundering money to Ukraine. So we're not surprised by what's happening. But let's read this. So it says, okay, maybe there is something more interesting in the whole Russian Death Star story after all. So to clarify, I still think mainly this is simply a ploy to get Congress to give the money and expand U.S. militarization of space in the process. So, by the way, what was just given to Ukraine was $96 billion. $96 billion. And the Congress actually
How
admitted
much of that went
that.
to our veterans? Any of them go to our veterans? Any money for our veterans?
Well, no. I mean, our
No. How
taxes
about
help pay for that.
our
So,
homeless? Anybody? And any of that
yeah.
money go for all? Exactly.
No.
You get where I'm going with that. But
No, we
anyway,
don't.
Doug, that's a shocking figure. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but $96 billion for a criminal Nazi-run machine by a bunch of perverts that steal and embezzle money and provided weapons to Hamas to attack the Israelis on October 7th with our weapons.
Well,
I've established that in my own research. Go ahead.
from what I'm counting so far, and I may have actually missed some money here and there, but we're at about $246 billion that we've given to Ukraine.
I know.
And that's with tangible assets, weapons, and then also money. All right, so let's look at what this guy was saying.
Right.
American press quoting sources states that the threat is not in orbit, and that number two, the threat is not about nuclear weapons in space, but about nuclear propulsion. So what they go on to say is that there's an interesting vector because there was a news of Sino-Russia cooperation in this regard to what's going on out in space. So if Russian scientists got funding from Emperor Xi Jinping for the project that they've been studying for decades, and this is most likely what they're talking about. And what they go on to say is that it's all becoming interesting to the extent that it's becoming faster within its own nature of this technology. And they're claiming that it's a real revolution, a real step forward in materials. And they go on to say, and I don't mean the overrated SpaceX crap, but we would be talking about viable interplanetary travel, space mining, and orbital maneuvers closer to what we see in science fiction than current methods, which is a huge danger for the American military, as well as its global position. So what this person is going to say, more or less, and I've heard a few other things like this so far, Dave, that China and Russia are looking at doing off-world exoplanetary travel, investigation or exploration, and also mining of meteoroids, asteroids, mining of the moon, and possibly trying to mine either Mars or reach another planet. So if that's what the real threat is all about, then what is the real threat to the United States? I mean, it's if this is not, of course, anything going up into space is military. Everything going into space, it can and will be used by the military. But if this is about exploration and also about mining, and that's what they consider to be, the scariest thing ever, Well, then it means that we're once again losing control of certain elements of economies, which is what the United States has been a real big part of over the last several decades, is controlling the world GDP. So take a shot at it. What do you think this is about?
I do think it's pretty straightforward. I do think it's about the mining, but I will also say too, it's about establishing military dominance outside the reach of Earth defenses. In other words, could you lob nukes to Earth or some other new weapon, a plasma weapon, for example? Yeah, you could. So I think it's a dual purpose.
Do you think we really have the ability to reach these other planets yet?
Yes. I know that quantum physics applied to space travel has definitely been done in laboratories with teleportation experiments, for example. That's a fact, and that fact that's 15, 16 years old, Leipzig, Germany, that was publicly put out there. So yes, I do. How far it's gone, your guess is as good as mine. I'm sure if we wanted to know, we'd go to MIT and DARPA, and we'd have a pretty good idea.
Well,
But I'll tell you this, we have so much, we think we're these nations at war with each other, but we share so much technology and information with the various intelligence agencies. I don't, I suspect Russia and China are closely on a par with us in this area.
let me interject something. Let me ask you this. What about all the stuff that came out from Dr. Stephen Greer and the different recreated, back created, back engineered spacecraft, like the stuff that Bob Lazar was working on? Could that be what they're talking about? Because as I'm reading this, right now our ability to get into space is load a bunch of fuel into rockets and hopefully not kill everybody on the way up. And then, once you get into space, you dock with the ISS or you go wherever you go up into space, but you're limited by fuel and by weight in that type of load capacity, where if we're using these other forms and methods, anti-gravity, and look, I'm not a physicist, so I don't even fake the funk on trying to explain the stuff, but this other stuff that they're using, the back engineered UFO, could that be potentially what we're so afraid about?
Leave the backwards engineering out. Well, let me address this. I'll just say this briefly without launching into a diatribe. I don't believe in the ETs. I believe they're fallen angels. This has become a more common belief among Christians and even among scientists that I talk to. So I don't buy that. I think it's an imitation, and I think there is technology transfer, trying to transfer technology to humans to control other humans and help with the dominance over the planet, without going into great detail. So that's my position on that. But to answer your question, I think there's a third component here. Economic for mining, military for control, but also I too there's got to be a surveillance factor that precedes the military. And I think there's a surveillance aspect to this as well too. So boy, you're asking a loaded question here though. What do you think it is? I mean, I'm kind of shooting in the dark. What do you think?
Well, I don't tend to believe everything that I'm told. I'm highly skeptical. Skeptical, that's a word. I'm highly skeptical. I say at this rate, I wouldn't be shocked. This is how Doug sleeps at
Yeah.
night. Are aliens real? Sure. Is Loch Ness real? Of course it is. So are mermaids and werewolves, and so are vampires. And so are Democrats who believe they're Christians.
And
We
Joe
could go
Biden's
ahead.
cognitive abilities. Okay, I
Yeah,
agree. I
yeah.
agree.
Men can be women. Women can be men. Cats and dogs, living with each other, like they say in Ghostbusters. Whatever you want to say, man. I think we have the ability to hide certain types of technology from the public. I think that the elite from around the world all use the same type of technology because it's one great big club. You're just not in it. And I believe that they prey upon the weakened status of countries that are at the whims of these various kinds of industrial complexes. And they don't share what they have with other people. And that's what Tesla was killed over.
You think he was killed? I absolutely
believe he was killed. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, no, Tesla solved a problem. He solved the free problem, and that's why he was killed for it. Remember the guy that we shared information about, the Buffalo shooter? He killed the security guard who had a patent for running a vehicle engine off of water. Well, this isn't the first time we've heard this. You know, the last guy back in the 80s, I think, who made a vehicle run off of water. Well, he was killed right at, you know, he told his brother, I was just poisoned and then poop drops over dead after meeting with two, you know, people, I think from like Sweden or Switzerland or something. Yeah, we want to buy your invention. And then bam, right after they all toast each other at the little restaurant, he falls over dead. It's not the first time we've heard stuff like this. And you know, I don't care about people's opinions of what they think aliens are and what aliens aren't. I think it's completely okay to say there's a bunch of stuff we don't get, that we don't understand, that the elite do understand, and they will use that against us one way or the other. And, you know, don't be shocked, don't be fooled. There's stuff out there that you just haven't experienced yet in your life, but yet, you know, millions upon millions of people every year, they see strange lights in the sky. People are abducted. This is a real phenomena. People see Bigfoot. That's a real phenomena. Mm-hmm. A giant blurry creature out in the middle of the woods. What more could be terrifying? So, you know, I think there's things out there we can't explain, but I think the underlying threat out there is that you have a diabolical group of people who want to control the world, depopulate the world, and they want their technology for them and let us have the crap technology. So there you have it. All right, let's move on. Hey, did you hear about the active shooter?
I think you're right. You know, let me address that, because you're right on the money with this. My dad and I had this discussion, the bifurcation of science. When we came out of World War II with Tesla technology, and then, of course, we had the Nazi scientists and this and that, and got into quantum physics. Doug, what I talked to my dad about, who was involved in that whole business, was this, is that we have three-dimensional Newtonian physics, standard classic physics. Then there's the quantum model with multiple dimensions like Michio Kaku, 26 dimensions, super string theory, and so forth. So science bifurcated after World War II, and they tried to keep the quantum model out of the mainstream, which is why I think they stole Tesla's work, the FBI did, and kept it sequestered and still do to this day. They don't want us to know what that is. It's exotic technology where we could be living like kings and queens, and it's withheld from us. It's much like the Hunger Games, where Capital City, and they had all that advanced technology and the way the people lived, and then you had the people in the outlying districts that lived like garbage. It's very analogous to that. So I think that science bifurcated, and there's what DARPA knows, what the CIA knows, and various intelligence agencies, never to filter down to regular people. Well, and I'll give you an example too. They call this cultural lag. Okay, I'll give you the example here. Microwaves were used in World War II. Tesla experiments, Philadelphia experiment was microwave experiment in part. Microwave ovens didn't come out until the 70s. The internet was developed in the 60s as alternative communication in case of nuclear attack. We didn't get the internet until the mid to late 90s. So there's always this cultural lag with technology. But there's some technology that I think is so exotic that we're never going to see it unless we force it to come out.
Well, let me add to that. Post-World War II, you have pre-World War II, well, let's say 1945 under, you have all these giant leap forwards in sciences and industrialization and technology booming. And then when the Nazis, after Operation Dustpan, And then Operation Paperclip, we get the Nazis over here. So we recruit them, then we find them and take them and bring them over here. Everything turned for the most part from building more advanced equipment to learning more about how to control the human mind. So
I agree with that. Totally
while
agree with that.
the technology never went away, that aspect never went away, it got kind of not put on the back burner, but put in another area where people can't see it and work on it. And more people worked on the World Wide Web. More people worked on MK Ultra. More people worked on TVs and radios and entertainment. And then Hollywood really blew this out of the park. And now it's all about bread and circus and controlling the fans at the Coliseum. Yet the technology's still there. But for us, it's social media, it's your movies, it's your entertainment, and then it's your social economic dialogue back and forth about how you're always pissed off and mad about this or that, and you're always rioting about this or that, and you're voting based off of your emotions for this and that. And the elites, why they stay elite is because they keep the technology to themselves, and the technology that they give us is for control, monitoring and control. So that's my two cents. Here, let's
No, I totally agree, but I'll give you another one here. I'll give you another aspect to this. I'm friends with a guy who was a signatory to the Air Force Owning the Weather 2025. And these are earthquake weapons, which some people still don't believe they're real. They are. It's
they're
using
absolutely
HAARP
real.
technology. Of course, weather modification, in which Nick Begich, the great Nick Begich, I love Nick. He published a great book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, HAARP. And in the, I believe it was 97 when he published, if I'm not mistaken, he had all the patents for weather modification. There are patents like Eastman Kodak and all these high-tech firms where it had Lockheed Martin. And he had all the patents there and said, this is what they do. So do you think they're modifying the weather, was what he said? And I would say absolutely positively, there are weather wars. In fact, the UN has weather war treaties. Yet the average person on the street in America would look at you cross-eyed if you talked about weather wars. And I'm not making fun of anybody. If you haven't heard of it in the audience, okay, well, welcome to the show. We're trying to bring this to your attention. But this is old information.
Well,
In
I mean,
fact, let me give a
if you need
prop here for
verification, just
Nick's
talk to
book.
your local
If you
meteorologist.
go ahead.
If you need verification,
Oh
talk
yeah,
to your
they
local
know. They
meteorologist.
know.
They'll tell you all about it.
They know. But if you go to earthpulsepress.com or just look up Nick Begich, Begich, and I don't get anything for this, you can go and order his book, Angels Don't Play This Harp, HAARP, and it has all these patents. And you'll look at the year and you'll go, oh my gosh. And when you do Air Force Owning the Weather 2025, I published that on my website, oh, probably 10, 12 years ago. And those patents were in the 90s as well, too. So, yeah, what we can do with weaponization, control of the immediate environment is way beyond that. Let me ask you a question. If we're good enough to change the weather, do you really believe that climate change, if it was real, would be outside our control? Of course it wouldn't.
Well, I mean, they make it rain in parts of the Sahara Desert.
There you go.
I mean, and we've had really strange weather patterns lately. It deep layers of snow on Mount Hermon. So, I mean, there's, flooding all around the world. Here in the US, I can only speak of the great state of Texas, but our winter got cut really short, which is really bad for farmers and crop growing seasons. So these things will compound eventually, and the less time crops have to germinate and the less hard freezes that happen that kill very harmful insects that annually killed, it's going to affect the crops and it'll affect everybody. Maybe that's why we'll be eating bugs. But here,
Yeah, I'm writing myself a note. Yeah,
let's move on to
I'm
this
writing
next
myself a
one.
note on this. You're cutting out just a little bit here. I'm not really sure why. It's not real noticeable, but it's somewhat noticeable. I don't know if you can boost your internet a little bit, but I made myself a note here about what you're talking about. Doug, let me point to one other thing before we go on to the next topic. As we talk about exotic technology, people don't really understand the Philadelphia experiment either. And I think I've got a fairly good handle on it because I've really studied it. I've talked to people, and I know it was something that the German scientists commented on to people that worked with them after they were captured. And the Philadelphia experiment was designed to be a ship that could move in space and move in time, and a shell or a torpedo fired at it or a bomb dropped on it, it could avoid the dangerous element by just displacing time and space. And this now it didn't work real well because some of the men, when they rematerialized the ship, they rematerialized inside of bulkheads, and it was absolutely horrific the way some of these men died. And the stories are just too numerous for it not to be true. But the technology is fantastic. If they can displace time and space, and going back to what you said about the Chinese and the Russians wanting to mine the moon and Mars, this is the future of space travel.
Yes.
This kind of technology is the future of space travel. It's not propulsion engines with hydrogen fuel. I mean, that technology is what, 60, 70 years old? Now that's then. There's a whole new game being played now.
Yeah, we're flying the same 100-year-old planes. Very few things for the civilian airline has changed, but yet apparently we have 0-point energy as well. That is just, it's barely ever talked about because very little of it's ever even known about it. I wonder though, is the next step
Yeah.
in technology, is it portals? Is it the Large Hadron Collider and what they're working at in Geneva, Switzerland?
Yes, it is. That's about time displacement, but there's also another element to it here, and some might wrinkle their nose up to this, but I'm convinced after looking at this and the satanic symbols around CERN, and the obsession with the occult that they have around CERN, it's kind of like the old Nazi Ouija boards where they channeled technology. I believe they're trying to summon demonic spirits in from other dimensions, and and that's kind of a show unto itself. And it's not something that I've talked a lot about because I don't think a lot of people are ready to hear this yet. But I do believe CERN is about channeling spirits, and also too, it's about time space travel. If you look at it, when we if you look at the old Stargate show, Stargate SG-1. You step into a Stargate and you go to a similar Stargate, light years away, and you rematerialize right there and you walk out. That's about time space displacement. It's kind of like pulling up the rug in a room and you end up on the other side of the room. And that's the way the technology has been described to me. That technology is real, Doug. And I'm going to just, we talked about this afternoon. Leipzig, Germany, 2008. Teleportation. This is public information, folks, mainstream media. A device was teleported along a long hallway corridor in a scientific building, and they took this inanimate object and they teleported it. And it was interesting. The object arrived and materialized, but the object also was in the original location for a moment. We call that bilocation. It was in two places at once, and then the origination object disappeared. And what we can do is when you teleport like that, you can displace time and space. Now, what we don't know is, are we teleporting humans? Are we, I think we can teleport ships. Can you teleport ships and protect the humans within the ship? Six one, half another is another. But I'll tell you what, I think Bob Lazar was working on this.
Well,
I think he was exactly working on this.
there's two parts of this story. One part is that you have the type of technological information that was passed on by people that we don't know about anymore. So if Stargates were real, the thesis of Stargate was that the Stargates were made by another civilization, another form of civilization. And we had to discover it because we can't build a Stargate, and we sure enough couldn't build a Stargate and bring ourselves to some other point around the universe and build another Stargate to go back and forth because we didn't have that technology. So if that technology exists, which I mean, the Hopi Indians say it did, many other cultures say it did, then would people use it? Sure, I think so. But I think there's an element of spiritualism that goes into this and occultism. There are things that we are told not to dabble in. Now, you and I have talked to L.A. Marzulli many, many times, friends of the show, friends of ours. And, the thing about what L.A. will tell you is that with the yogis and the Eastern religions, they focus real big on out-of-body experience, out-of-body traveling, and, at the SRI, and then you have Operation Grill Flame, Operation Stargate, so on and so forth, that the U.S. military, CIA, DIA, and all these other entities were working on was they were trying to get this type of travel down with spiritual aspects. So, the out-of-body experience, but you can't manipulate and move physical objects, but you could move the spiritual man. And once again, these are things you should not dabble with. When you open up certain doors, certain things will walk back into your life or follow you. So,
What do you mean, Dab? What are you talking about? What, Doug, what do you mean by dabble?
well, I mean,
I
it's these
mean,
are some of the
what should be prohibited from what should be prohibited from looking into is what I'm asking.
So when it's and we could go back and forth in this. I think you and I have actually gone back and forth in this before. I believe the way the Bible views the out-of-body experience and purposely going into an out-of-body experience for a means of travel and communication, you're not supposed to do that because, for one thing, we're flesh and blood and we are not on the same level as these other spiritual entities like the demonic presence and the fallen angels and so on and so forth. You're not supposed to dabble with that. A lot of times it almost goes hand in hand with necromancy, communicating, because all these people, they talk about their spiritual guide, right? Helena Blavatsky, she had her spiritual guide that led her into all of her occultism. And she was not exactly a Christian saved woman by the blood of Christ. And a lot of
No, I
things
agree. I agree.
that the Germans did was based off of her studies. And what the Germans studied, based off of Helena Blavatsky and others from the Age
Doug
of
is
Enlightenment.
Doug. Doug, you're cutting out a little bit. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I got you.
Doug, can you
What
hear
the
me?
not? Yeah, I got you.
Okay, because we lost you there for about 10 seconds. Let me interject this just for a second. I agree with you, but I don't think we can paint a broad brush on all, shall we say, psychic experiences, for lack of a better term. And here's what I mean by this. In the quantum model, all dimensions are frequency oriented. We know that's definitely true in the three dimensions. But when you get to fourth and fifth dimension, you're now into time and space. And if your mind on a frequency level, and our brains are more quantum model, more like a quantum computer than a regular computer, if you could get into the frequency vibration of the fifth dimension, you could see forwards in time and you could see in other locations because everything would happen on a single strand. And that's the theory from quantum physics. And I do think a lot of psychic experiences that really can't be explained by other than just random chance fits this model pretty well. And I go back to the Bible, and this is why I don't paint all these experiences with a broad brush. I do agree we need to avoid Ouija boards and tarot cards and so forth. I totally agree with that. That's totally satanic. But Jesus walked on water. Okay, he turned stone into bread, and he turned water into wine, and he said, "This I do, and you," meaning the people that were there, "can do more." It's about faith, realizing your potential, and Jesus set the model, I believe, for quantum physics, the science of quantum physics, and the ability to transcend your three-dimensional reality into other dimensions that people like Michio Kaku talk about. And so I don't think you can paint all of it with a broad brush. I think it's also in your intent and how you use it. Now, if you're summoning evil spirits through Ouija boards like the Nazis did when they tried to get technology in pre-World War II, and I know this happened because I related this to my father. This is how they got their information. A lot of And I think that isn't, I mean, I don't think it's all exactly the same. I think we could go to the Bible for proof of that.
Yeah, the intent is what Christ intended for us to do was in faith with him. You know, the fish and the bread story, right? Feeding the thousands. Well, that was all done based off of faith in God and letting God do that. Instead, man tried to find a way around going to God and do it on their own. And many times when you listen to the dissertations of these people who do this, they talk about meeting this being of pure light, right? I don't believe the beings of pure light that they're meeting are angelic beings. If they are, it's the other angelic beings. That's where I come from on this. But
The fallen angels. I listen,
I do think
and
people can do some very crazy stuff with natural abilities.
there are people. I'll give you an example, and I've seen this firsthand. Some of the Eastern yogis, and I'm talking about the religious yogis, like from India and so forth. They've done lab experiments on them, and I've happened to see some of these. And they can block pain to an unbelievable degree, to where, I've seen straight edge put through someone's tongue, they don't respond. They put needles into them, they don't respond. They can lay on a bed of needles, they can walk on needles, they could walk on fire and their feet don't burn. That is not so much the psychic realm, I think, as strictly control over your autonomic nervous system and your responses to stimuli. But it does speak to an extraordinary control that people don't have. But also, too, the Bible's very clear about visions and visions from God. And that is not three-dimensional reality. That's in the quantum model. Because what you know is what you can see. And what you can hear and experience with your five senses. What we see, I think, with like the burning bush, or you see with words of knowledge that are given to people, extraordinary strength. David slays Goliath with a slingshot and then cuts his head off. I think when you look at this, Doug, you're now looking at extraordinary ability that comes from the Almighty. And
Well,
that's not in our three-dimensional science.
Elijah outran Ahab, and Elijah was easily in his probably 90s, maybe 100 years old, very, very old, and he outran Ahab, who was on a chariot with a team of horses. So yeah, there is capabilities that can be given to you by the Holy Spirit, but there's other spirits out there that can give you abilities. So, you know, for people who dabble in that, you got to be careful with what you're doing. And I go right there along with L.A. Marzulli. What the Eastern religions were doing is they're tapping into resources of power that are not coming from God. Their extra abilities are extraordinary. Some of them may even look like miracles, but you got to be careful. When you're not doing things in the name of Jesus, you're doing things in the name of something else that's giving you power and not Jesus. So, but at the same time,
I agree. I agree.
I've also seen studies. I've also seen studies from the CIA and from others where they were studying children. We've talked about this. The Chinese were studying children who had these extra capabilities. And the one that I saw was the still shots, which is still just fascinating just to read about, is how a child reached into a glass jar and they took pictures of the child's hand reaching into a glass jar, still shots, and grabbing an object and pulling it out of that jar. I can't explain it. I could probably try to explain it, you know, in multiple different ways, and people will take that in multiple different ways, but people are able, you know, to do things that are unexplainable. And it's not always by their own, you know, fruition. But you and I have talked about ESP. I think ESP to a certain level is it's an extrasensory type of trait that some people have and some people don't. Some people are very sensitive to things. They can see things happening. Sometimes we call this, different kinds of visions, but some people can actually predict certain things. And some people have these really extraordinary capabilities that are, like I said, just they're difficult to explain. And some of these people may have nothing to do at all with any type of religious aspect and still have the ability to do it and can't explain it themselves either.
I would add that to what you're saying, John in the book of Revelation, we don't need to go any further than that to illustrate what we're talking about. He prophesies the end days, the rise of Israel and so forth is in Revelation. And so, I mean, you go right down, we're fulfilling prophecy. Now, I'm not saying the tribulation starting, a lot of people think it's starting now and it'll culminate in 7 years. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But what I do know is this. Is that a lot of what's we're living through right now is foretold in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, and that speaks to the power that we're talking about here. There are people that have done these experiments, and I got to participate in them as an undergrad. They'll recruit undergrad psychology students. Oh, you can go an extra credit or get paid a certain amount of money, and you have to go and observe an experiment. And some of the things I watched were this: you'd shuffle the deck after each turn. And you'd have the top card, and someone would try to predict what the card is. Now you have a 1 in 52 chance of being correct. So basically just under 2%. And what they found is about 2% of the population can predict significantly at least one standard deviation above what you would say at 2, and you might get to 4. And then they did this, they did what they call psychokinesis experiments, which is mind over body. Mind manipulating the physical environment. And they started with things like slot machines. And so slot machines are programmed to be absolutely regular and they're pay off on a frequency where the house wins more money than the person, but they pay just enough to keep you going. And so they have pre-programmed what they do. And then some people violate the program. In other words, let's say they're supposed to win every fifth pole on the slot machine. It'll come up three of something. But some people will get 2 out of 5. 3 out of 5 consistently. And again, it's about 1.8% or almost 2% of the population can do this. And we have firm studies. Princeton Engineering, and I should probably talk about this for a second, Doug, because this is really relevant. There was North Carolina State University, there was a researcher, a marine biologist named Joanne Burkholder, and she was studying killfish, which is like an offshoot of piranha, and they're highly aggressive. And they noticed that when the light in the outer room outside the laboratory was on, the room was dark, the killfish would see its reflection and smash its face into the aquarium. So they set up an experiment to see if the killfish would actually injure itself in a desire to fulfill its aggressive tendencies. But that's not what they found in the experiment. They put on a computer to turn on a light on and off on a random basis where the fish couldn't get conditioned to how when this light would come on. But the light started to come on more frequently than what it was programmed to do. So they thought they had a computer error. So they changed the computer. Then they had to change the software. And they did it again. And she just threw her hands up. And this led to some of the best experiments in what we're talking about. Joanne was on the phone with a Harvard engineer. No, it was a Princeton engineer. And she was saying, gee, I wondered if the fish were controlling the computer. And she was laughing. Well, engineers aren't necessarily known for their sense of humor, with their pocket protectors. And he turned this, these guys turned it into an experiment, a 30-year experiment where they tested these abilities over 30 years. And what they found across a broad domain of experiments spanning 30 years and what they called the Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, PEAR for short, is that they found that about 2% of the population has extra abilities beyond the five senses. In fact, here's one other thing they found. This was really interesting. They set up measuring posts around the world. It'd be like 50 to 100 at any given time. And people would volunteer to go in and they'd do a baseline of their blood pressure, their CO2, and so forth. And they would get a standard baseline for what their like blood pressure would be, say maybe like 120 over 80, okay, for example. Well, what they found was that people seemed to inherently excite themselves in the face of impending danger 4 hours down the road. And this is a really interesting formula. 4 hours from now, I might be able to sense there's danger, but I can't define the danger. I don't know what it is, but my body's reacting like I'm in fight or flight without any real reason to know why we were. So in these aggregate of experiments that they would do around the planet, they would get an average blood pressure respiration, and they spiked before major world events. The number two event that they had the spike on was the 2004 Malaysia tsunami, in which 250,000 people were killed. The number one event that they found the highest rise and spike in the most people in their listening post was 9/11. Isn't that interesting? 30 years of those experiments.
Yeah, I know they've done the same type of experiments with animals too. Animals being able to
Yeah,
sense
exactly. Yep.
earthquakes, tsunamis, storms, fires, plagues. It's interesting. It's hard to explain, and science isn't done studying. But let's move on to something further if we're going to talk about this, because we're at 45 minutes right now.
Okay.
Super soldiers. All right, everybody's one of everybody's favorite topics that they love to talk about. China has been experimenting on their own troops to shift the human genome to human 2.0. It's not so much what they're worried about with super speed and super strength. The main thing that they're working on currently is the ability to have more cognitive processing per soldier. So what that means is I can react faster than the average man, sometimes by factors of two or three times faster. Would that change quite a bit in a battlefield? Yes, it would, because it would change quite a bit in a boxing match. I mean, if you can see multiple strikes coming and you know the angles before it ever happens, well, now the surprise is no longer on me, it's on you, because I'm already reacting way before you're even deciding what you're going to do. Now, a skilled elite fighter can see the body positions and the maneuvering of the head, the shoulders, the hips, the hands, and they can kind of judge things. But in a battlefield, if you can literally move your mind two to three times faster than your opponent, then you can outthink and outpace them. So we don't have to worry then about super speed and super strength and a super healing factor, because that's not the point. The point isn't to make super soldiers super durable. That's what armor is for, and that's what drugs are for, because that's the simplest and cheapest way to make men more durable. What they really want is the ability to make that fight end faster. That's really what it's all about, is to end the fight quicker so that you can preserve more troops. That I don't think China could give a damn how many people they lose in a fight, but if they lose less amount of men in a fight, like let's say if they went toe to toe with Russia, if China went toe to toe with Russia, Russia has them beat on many different levels. They got I would say a more superior fighting prowess, more experience at fighting, and probably better weaponry at fighting, and probably much better tactics. But sometimes that can be trumped by having that cognitive function work much better. The Nazis did a similar test with this with methamphetamines. There's a really good documentary. I'm trying to recall it. I think it's called Nazis on Meth. It's something stupid like that. You guys
I've
can look
never
it
heard of
up.
that. No, it's
Oh yeah, so they would feed their men methamphetamine,
yeah, I know
and
that.
it made them crazy. It made them durable. I mean, they're smoking ice, PCP, meth. And if has anyone ever fought anyone on meth, it's fun. I mean, it's super fun to fight dudes on meth. You got to tase them a couple times in order for them to actually follow commands. Sometimes a skinny crackhead can take three or four officers to try and hold down. Well, I mean, put that on a battlefield. Now you're rushing towards the enemy, and I have this in my head, a superhuman aspect of myself. Even if I'm not moving at that speed, my cognitive function is so much higher. And if you can train someone how to actually fight and use strategy and tactics while on methamphetamine, like they did with the SS. Because the Schutzstaffel that was part of the Wehrmacht, the actual military side of the SS, this is what they were giving to the troops. The problem was, is that they were giving them small amounts, well, and then they got addicted to it. And so they had to continuously up the dosage. And so these guys are in between battles or having manic breakdowns. Their literally minds are coming apart because they're addicted on meth. If you can take out that addiction and have the performance value without the addiction, you do have quite the added benefit on a battlefield.
I couldn't agree with you more. But you're right. The increased dosage that was needed to maintain the same response became problematic for the Germans to supply. And also, too, when you constantly stay on meth, you get into a manic state and real psychotic behavior starts to take over. So, you know, you want, like a PCP, for example, okay, you might want your football players to be really hyped up like they're on meth or PCP, but they would lose all sense of discipline. And that was the problem that they had with that too, because the fighting unit stopped being cohesive and it was individuals just going nuts and fighting. And they found out it was almost more counterproductive not to do it than to do it. All right. But I hear what you're saying. I'll tell you this though, if you were involved in a 48-hour siege and you had to fight for prolonged periods with limited sleep, meth would be the way to go for troops in the short term before addictive properties could take over.
Well, the United States, they did a similar experiment all the way up until Desert Storm, and even in the Iraq-Afghanistan wars, they may be doing it now still, where you had certain units were being given amphetamines, not methamphetamines, but amphetamines to help you stay awake longer and to be more resistant to, you know, just the sluggishness of this type of warfare, city fighting. And, you know, the problem was guys were dehydrated, their calories were depleted, they're on their feet all the time. And, you know, doing house to house moving, it's burning a lot of calories, burning a lot of fuel, you get tired real quick. So, you know, amphetamines were helping guys stay up for 2 to 3 days. The problem is, and I've been up for 3 days, you start to lose your mind on that third day. Yeah. I mean, you're seeing stuff. We had guys hallucinating. It scared the hell out of you when some guy. So I'll give you a quick story. We've been up for about 3 days. We're at our FOB Omar. This is in northern Fallujah. And I remember one of my senior Marines, he was on post, and I'm coming now to relieve him on post. Our squads are swapping on post, which if people don't know what I'm talking about, you have a post, which is, you know, it's your defensive area around your little base. We were living in an old morgue that was taken over. Not the greatest place. But here we are, you know, going to relieve him on post, and our guys have been up for way too long. And I just remember my buddy goes, "Hey man, not to alarm you, but something with green glowing eyes just ran into the FOB. Your post now." And so me and my buddy who were taking over the post were like, "Oh great, now we got a green eyed monster running around somewhere inside the base." Well, it's because the dude was hallucinating for so long that he was seeing stuff. Like I said, if you can find a way around that without the addiction and you can boost cognitive function, you can boost that mental durability, it is definitely something that you would be seeing on the battlefield as the next level game changer. You know, we're so advanced on radio communication, satellite communication, weaponry, but the human body element has not changed. It's still a bunch of teenagers and guys in their 20s and 30s out there fighting. We still get tired. We get irritable. And, you know, mistakes happen. You take out that element and you put inside a hive mind mentality where, and this is another thing that I know that the Chinese were working on. They were actually trying to find people who could do telepathy. So they were trying to find guys who could do, you know, mind-to-mind communication. Whether that's real or not, that's debatable. But they were hardcore looking for this as that next edge in combat effectiveness. And so are we. We absolutely had it. John McMonagle, I mean, he's a perfect example of what someone could potentially do. He's the guy that found what is that class submarine? The Typhoon class submarine that was up in what is it, Antarctica
Well,
or North Pole or
you're
whatever?
talking about remote viewing that was done by the
Yeah.
DIA and the CIA. Doug, we're just about out of time for this segment. Folks, we're going to continue this, but unfortunately, we're limited by the clock, and we've decided ahead of time we were going to divide this into two parts. Doug has the American Vindicta show, and it's everywhere, and we'll tell you more about it in part two. And
And back on YouTube.
yeah, that's one of us. It's back on
All
YouTube. I'm a YouTube orphan. Anyway, catch me over on Rumble and our podcast services. We're on all the major podcasts. Hey, stay tuned. We're going to come back with a part two on this. So you either hear this back to back or you'll hear it the following day. But I think you got to admit, this is kind of interesting stuff and a little outside the geopolitics. And it's kind of fun to do this. Anyway, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll see you back here in our next episode.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.